Welcome to episode 30 of Nui Tech People. Today we have Luke Bennis. Interesting story. This is the ins and outs of how the platform came about, how the product was built. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode 30 of Nui Tech People. Today we've got Luke Bennis from BrandSynth.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about BrandSynth.
Well, BrandSynth is a design automation service. So we create your branded documents from your brand design variables, so logo, color, imagery, fonts, and then we auto-generate through smart algorithms and layouts your branded documents, so business cards, letterheads, email signatures, presentations, deal flyers, just all the essentials, plus a few extra things. And we're going to keep growing that list, but the essentials are the really important part early on.
Nice. So it helps a business that might have a logo or even doesn't have a logo come to you guys for a one-off fee. You can have your logo designed or input your logo, and then you can turn that into all the marketing collateral you need.
Yeah, so we've taken the point where if you have a logo, that's a good place. We don't sort of create it for you. We do have a little service in there to do like a nice solid font logo using Google Fonts to sort of write your name in a nice neat way, which really feeds off like a larger trend of like eBay, Google, like the really big players sort of do that anyway. They just have a text logo. So really early on, it's a great way to just grab that. Anyway, so we do have that in there, but really, bring your own logo to it is totally the way to go. Because there's lots of logo generators out there, really high quality ones. So we're not competing in that space. We're about the consistency and the breadth of your branding. That's what we're about. And so you bring your brand and those variables, and we'll do sort of everything after that and keep it consistent. The text logo thing's really nice too, because it's free as part of our subscription. We give you the SVG and high-res PNGs and all that sort of stuff as well. So that's kind of just thrown in there. But interesting to see how much that's leveraged, I think.
Yeah, really nice, mate. Yeah. I can speak personally to the challenges of creating a logo and things when you're a small business starting out, do it on the cheap and nasty, or get whatever's needed to be done, and then trying to go from there and actually create some consistency with your brand is a real challenge.
Yeah.
I personally did mine on the cheap and nasty before building it a little bit and then coming to you as a designer. So Luke has sort of helped us with the Nui Tech People logo and also my JM recruiting logo. And then trying to create some consistency and brand through the website, through our images and everything we use. So
And that's the thing. Like it's a brand is a business asset. It's a valuable thing, right? A logo is okay, but it's not actually a valuable thing. It's like a consistent bad brand is better than no brand.
Correct.
So, but that consistency is really, it's difficult to get to, but it's something to keep in mind. Like logos are kind of easy. They're the first step and obviously very important. But, that consistency is a real challenge for everyone.
I agree. And it's a thing that a lot of businesses won't tackle until they're later on. But this seems to solve that problem. I know, early on for my small business, you just get something done, right? Get something out there.
Yeah.
And then as the business builds, there's some more money in the bank, and then you can turn to, I came to you as a design professional to get it done. But if something like BrandSynth was in place at that time, I might have been able to use that from the start and had that sort of brand consistency right from the start, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, like, exactly that is what I hope it will be, in that as a designer, I would prefer that too. I would prefer you to come to me with, here's my basis for stuff that I've already got. Let's build on that.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, man, I've got, here's my hodgepodge. Help me wrangle it a little bit, because we actually go back a little bit and start from the basics and move up. And that's not the most efficient way to do it necessarily, but that's just reality. But, yeah, it would be great for you to go, hey, I've got this and this and this and this, but now I sort of know what I want to sort of tweak and make more bespoke and build on top of it, and maybe not even change some stuff because it's just basic and working and whatever, that sort of thing. So BrandSynth is about getting the first version one of everything, and then once you get to the point you're just talking about, start building on it or replace this, replace that. But you're spending your money where you know it's valuable, and you know what you want to get out of it as well. So exactly, that little process is right. So
I think, mate, what you just
I didn't
said,
even have to tell you that to say back to me. That was nice.
I'm only speaking from personal experience. I got my The Nui Tech People logo was done through Freelancer.
Yep.
replicating like a straight out of Compton logo.
Yeah.
And you've used that black and white and, you know, change it up a little bit and then give us different variations, yada, yada, yada.
Mm.
And it's continued to grow and we've got some consistency through the website.
Yeah.
It's now being rebuilt. So I think like personal experience, something like brand synth early days would have been really valuable. And I think you see that with a lot of small businesses, startups, that consistency across platforms, it's a consistency with your social media posts and things like that. You get a really good quality brands and they just look on point.
And you
can tell the brand and the style, like the styling.
Yeah. And it's not about having like exactly the same, like the one image or something like that. You know, consistency isn't just that. It's not about being boring in that sense, but it's just being within the bandwidth of your brand, like setting a few, like here's our stuff and using it everywhere so people can recognize it.
We're not using a different font style on every different social media.
Just a few things. Yeah. Just trying to wrangle a few of them.
Nice, man. Wind that back a little bit, like to you personally, you obviously come from a design background. Give us a quick overview of like your career and then we'll talk about your co-founder and then how brands since come together. But you personally, how'd that?
I just started out regular print branding graphic designer. So went to TAFE out of there, worked at a local printer, Greg Tapp Printing, great printer, and just was the in-house designer there and got to do lots of great work and did heaps every day. So that was a really good training ground. And then went to McDonald Jones Homes in the marketing department there. And then after that, sort of jumped out into the freelance sole trader Wild Wild West type scenario, but was working with Shannon at Crackler. So I was co-founder there for co-owner there a little bit for a while and then but have worked with him and still do now. And then through that freelancing and working in co-work spaces a lot, which was really good, met Colin and Charles from Social Pinpoint. So that was early on too. So I've been with them from early on, essentially contracting to these people and then in sole trader for years. And then over time, was doing graphic design and then taught myself web design. Was doing that for the last few years quite a bit. And then through Social Pinpoint, because they're a SaaS product, started teaching myself product UI design, you know, jumped into that area of sort of design and coding a little bit. And so that's where I am now. That's what I really like doing the most and want to keep doing. And then so then obviously co-founding a SaaS product fits into that really well because I can do a lot of the work that needs to be done there. So that's me, just regular graphic designer sort of through web design into UI design and UX and whatever other words you want to throw around that. But yeah, the designer who codes is about where I'm at now.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then you've partnered with a co-founder to get this product built.
Yep. Andrew Rutherford. Yep. Yeah. So he and I met about a year ago now. And just got on well and he had a pre-existing piece of work. Okay. And so I was, you know, beautiful Newcastle style co-working. So I'm in a co-work space with Liftangos coming in for a bit of space in our thing and Andrew's working with them to do a bit of work. And I work with Liftango for a bit of UI stuff. Andrew sees that and goes, yep, that look, you know, really good. That's, I like the way that you solve that problem. Do you want to come and help me with my product to tighten it up? And so we started working like that and I learned what his product did. And then I sort of saw an opportunity there and I said, well, I know what your product does on the back end and here's what the design industry or what I do as a designer, I think we can click these things together. So it's just that. He could automate my job. That's what his software was doing. So I sort of clicked those ideas together and then over time we decided to do that project together and we have just come together to, you know, do this together. Yeah.
What's the timeline on this sort of product being built look like?
Well, he had some existing IP that he'd been working on. So he was about 3 years in then, and then we're a year now. So it's actually 4 years. But in terms of brand synth specifically, that vertical, not even a year yet, but coming up to about November will be a year, I believe. So pretty fast. Andrew's unbelievably fast, very talented developer. It's just been, a lot of it's been around like, you know, packaging the design part a little bit, like, you know, he's the type of thing we're delivering. So we've got to get it really on point for that and make it understood. And then a lot of Andrew's learned a lot more about design than he probably ever wanted to in this as well, like color conversions and what a logo is and how I think about placing it in order to automate it. Which has been really great. Like we have lots of discussions back and forth where I just tell him what I want to do and then he throws maths at me and we try and come up with a mutual understanding. It's been really great. Like I've learned also a lot about that as well. So, we algorithmically place stuff based on, you know, some really predictable parameters, but it's it hasn't been easy to get to. But yeah, turns out the area of a logo is much more important than its width or height. You know, even the aspect ratio is where we started, but it's all about the visual weight and the area of it, you know, how we use it and that sort of thing. So but yeah, we've got a few interesting ideas that we've used to be able to do this in an algorithmic way, an automated way, because it's not easy. Like, design's been manual for a long time.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to push against that a little bit.
Yeah. Designers either hate you or love you.
Yeah. So far, love. Yeah. yeah. So far, it's a good thing because, you know, the only thing that comes out of brand synth will be something that I would want to make.
Yeah.
That's, you know, as I look at it, that's what it's all about. It's definitely at the beginning safe, solid design. Safe being sort of a nice way to say simple.
Yeah.
But when you talk about getting a consistent brand across everything, that's exactly what you want. Like, you get your name on it. It looks like your stuff. It's consistent. And it's,
yeah.
On top of that, it's the right file format. You know, it's the right resolution. It's the right color space. All that stuff that you don't have to think about as well. So,
yeah
the old file format stuff is taken care of as well.
So. It's been a challenge for a long, long time. I remember back in my marketing days, it was like, oh, do you have the file format in this? It's like, oh, maybe I'll go digging for it and files and whatever else.
Totally, yeah. So what we've been able to do is separate the layout and design from that file type. So you do that layout and design once, and we can separate the file type. So I can give you a JPEG, PDF, code, that sort of thing. So that's a nice little element of the tool that we've got.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Mate, how important do you think it was for you coming from that design background? You know, you've went through the web design, but now into, you know, probably more into that technical side of it. How important was it for you to learn to code or learn the more technical aspects of software?
Very. Like, obviously people talk about should designers code, that sort of thing. And I think it's, if the designer wants to work in software, then 100% yes. And it's not, I've never made production code, right? But that's someone else's job. So it's not like you get a designer who can do both jobs. That's not what it's about. It's about crossing boundaries and understanding what's happening. I did design product design sort of statically in design programs and then work with the developer to do so. I have done that for as well. But the translation issue and the distance between what you've made and what you get is really large. And also there's a few areas of this that I find really interesting. But as a business, if I put, you know, $1,000 in here to a designer to get this thing done, and then I put probably $1,000, $2,000 into the developer to get it made, but I lose a bunch of, let's call it fidelity or something, in the middle here, you're actually losing money out on the initial investment because you don't get the thing that you sort of paid for out the other end. It's not a developer's fault at all, but just that as a business sense, it's a really inefficient, troublesome process. But yeah, coding is super important. I actually find all the design tools really frustrating, the ones that are trying to help with UI design, because they're just trying to stop me from coding, whereas learning that more and more and more has just made me better and better and better. So I don't use any of them anymore. It's just everything is code. Even though it's static, it's HTML, CSS, jQuery or JavaScript. Like, so any developer out there is like, yep, that's the basic baseline. But as a designer, it allows me to make things interactive, responsive, you know, scalable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think the differentiator is that you actually went to the lengths to learn that code, where there are, you know, there is that middle ground where there's a lot of people that just want a tool that can sort of turn in X into, you know, Y. But
It's about expressing an idea, and like there is a length, like there is a common language for it. And so some of those tools are just as hard to learn as HTML, CSS a little bit. So it's just about you need to express it, some sort of design idea, and actually the code is the best way to do it because you want to hover and move and like have spacing and all those other things. So yeah, it's just super important. And the other really important thing is, like, although I don't write production code, say, Andrew and I have a shared master style sheet at least. So I am contributing to the actual product there day one. Like, I keep that tidy and I refine it. So there, like, you know, I do actually influence that, and the efficiency gain is massive.
Yeah.
So yeah, and even like more recently at Social Pinpoint, I created a rudimentary, a beginning design system for them, which is just the set of design variables and parameters and objects in the interface that they have. But it's pretty simple, but it's very neat and tidy, and I made it in a way that's very accessible for the developers. But it's all in code. It's essentially a big set of code pens that I've gotten a nice way for them to get to. But because it's in code, all their designs now, they pull it out and make it perfect. So that translation's gone because they know exactly where to get it. They literally copy and paste it. Yeah. So it's just like, and that, I'm talking about making a button and some headings and some inputs, you know, some forms, like box shadows, and just going, here's the box shadow we use. And just that brings consistency and high value. Yeah, and it's nothing. Like there's no code there. It's just a style sheet, really. So
yeah,
it's super important. I can see though, like if you're a designer sitting here wanting to get to UI design, it's a big distance. But if you have been through web design a bit, then you know you've got some foundational stuff there. So I did do that. So it is a difficult road, but web design provides a nice path as well.
So if you're providing advice to a designer at the moment, they want to move down that route, you'd say go web design first.
Yeah, totally. Because it's also, that's a highly valuable skill as well. Like product design is a bit further down the line in terms of being niche, but web design, like so many opportunities for that. And even like, that's not saying code a website fully yourself. Like, and that's not even saying like, you know, use a CMS like WordPress. You can go back another step and go like, if a client uses Shopify or Squarespace, even you interacting in that environment and learning how it works is highly valuable. And for that client, you can do that. Like just, you're both using Squarespace, but you come in as a designer and make an improvement. Highly valuable, and you'll learn heaps. And then over time, you'll move on to the next step. And 3 or 4 years down the line, you'll be making your own websites and be just as annoyed at WordPress as everyone else.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing, right? Once you teach yourself a little bit, you understand what you can change. You're like, I know how to do this once. Yeah. I want to be able to do this and a little bit more, and you teach yourself that.
And that's
continues to go down that route.
Yeah. And web design is beautiful like that. It's just really a set of 1,000 small tasks or 1,000 small things to learn, I saw it as. And because you just build and build and build, and by the time you're into 200, you feel like you know what you're doing, and the rest of it's just building on top.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a continual learning thing, right?
Yes.
As you said, you think you know what you're doing, or you think you feel like you know what you're doing. And then
you look at it on Safari. But yeah, like there's things like that. That's just consistent. You know, then you get into the light browser compatibility. That's all the top level, not top level, but it's baseline, but it's stuff you got to get to and bring that baseline consistency for. Yeah. I mean, I taught myself, so this is how I see it. I just, you know, went in the deep end and redesigned my own website 5 or 6 times before trying to provide it to someone else. But even then, made things as good as I could.
Yeah, cool. You mentioned it just there, you taught yourself. Mm-hmm. You didn't do university, right? You did TAFE for a bit?
TAFE, yep.
What did you do at TAFE?
Just the Diploma of Graphic Design.
Yeah.
Yep, it was two years for me, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've taught yourself a bunch of both design and code. Have you used anything online to do that? How'd you go about teaching yourself?
No online formal courses or anything. Like I have like somewhat, try to dive in now those, but purely like Stack Overflow and all the other things, like Googling what you need at the time. That's why I see it in that really linear way. Like I was like, okay, I've made myself a WordPress site. I've got that like on some hosting. Mm-hmm. So now I want to adjust the thing. And over time you just figure out how to move every part of it. So it was just that, like, okay, how do I get this menu to do this? Google it, find it, move on. So like Web Designer Depot and like WordPress Beginner and like all the main sites that you run into, like I've just seen everything on them essentially. So yeah, just that.
Right, there's, it'd be very, 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 very few occasions you run into something that someone else has.
No, yeah. Like, you don't have a unique problem and you're fine. Yeah,
exactly, right? And man, the information's all there.
Yeah, it is. It is all there. And if someone's sitting around wanting to learn it and I'm saying, well, just go and teach yourself, right? It's like, well, that sounds pretty difficult and long. But the idea is to have a project, like, because I didn't set out to learn 1,000 things. I had a project and I needed to change 4 or 5, and those things just were easy to learn, and then it went from there. So my own website was the best place. That's where I started smashing that up. And I had like a friend who was a programmer, and I said to him initially, like, look, I want to try and do HTML, CSS. Like, what do I do? He threw down the HTML for Dummies book at me and sort of helped me unpack some of the crazy language inside of it, which isn't that crazy, but that was really good just to have someone to do that. So if you like that's always really good, because the internet is so cold and it's text, a little bit contextualization from someone is really useful. But once you got the baseline, you're off on your own. So yeah, you can have 1% of the credit.
No, it is good, man. It's good to have. And it might not even be a formal mentor or somebody like that, but just things, somebody you can bounce things off, right?
Totally, yeah.
And it's probably, you've probably experienced that through building brand synth at the moment as well. Yes. Like you partner with a co-founder who is super technical.
Yes.
So whilst you're not, you know, writing code day in, day out, you've got somebody there you can bounce off. Hey, how do we do this? Oh, can we do this?
Yes.
Can we do this is probably the more relevant question.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and what's kind of great is Andrew is fantastic. He's a back-end guy in general, and he's really learning the front-end stuff, which he's great at as well. But, when it comes to just styling and CSS, like I have got more experience than him. And so there is sometimes a little bit of like I'm over here prototyping something. He's like, how did you do that sort of thing? And we get a little bit back and forth. But that's where the front-end is kind of nice. It's where design, you know, and code meet. So, it's really interesting to be able to have a little bit of back and forth.
Yeah, cool. Mate, to blokes that have met in Newcastle, obviously, building a software product out of Newcastle.
Yep.
Which is I don't want to say growing trend, but we're seeing a little bit more of it, which is great.
Yeah.
Mate, how have you found Newcastle for, obviously, you've had some success in finding a co-founder, but how'd that come about? You mentioned the Lifty story a bit there. You know, you spent some time together, but how do you find the Newcastle tech scene in that regard?
I find it pretty good. I mean, I've worked in co-work spaces for the last 5-6 years, maybe more or something like that. So, in a few of them. And so that's been really good, but that's been paramount. Like the co-work space to me is that underpinning thing for me in my experience, because I like meeting Colin from Social Pinpoint. He's the CTO would be right. Yeah, he's the more technical one. We were working just alongside each other and he needed some design work done. And then we bonded over a mutual hate of all to-do apps. And so then we started coming up, we're just doing that. Like, what could we make that we did it? And we just went like that. But I would never run into Colin
without that
co-work space, just that, right? So Newcastle is really good for that technical space, I think. Like there's lots of meetups and that sort of stuff, but they're a little bit siloed, I think, because I would never go to the JavaScript meetup group, which I know is a really good one. But only because I'm a designer and I code like a tiny little bit. I code in like the toddler language.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to go there and be like, oh yeah, I want to, you know, I do this too or anything. You know, that's why I wouldn't go. I sort of like to, but that's why when you silo groups, you might miss out on a few things. So a bit of that crosshatch stuff I think is really good, which is where the co-work spaces come in.
Yeah.
So I think it's really good though. Like that, I don't know, my experience is that just sort of, and being involved with new tech startups, that feeds into that a lot, because I just believe that getting people together without an agenda, like literally an agenda of speakers, literally no agenda and then no outside agenda, is just really positive, like because you just find people.
Yeah, networking is super important, and for those that don't know, Luke's done all the the branding behind new startups and just trying to get some consistency there, because super important.
Yes.
New startups could probably do with some more consistency with their event schedule.
Probably could, yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, when everyone's a volunteer.
Yeah, I can say that because I'm involved. So
yes, yeah, James, yeah, yeah.
I put that on myself.
We've all got dropped balls.
We do. Mate, so you've obviously had a good experience in Newcastle. You've obviously seen a growth in the startup scene over the last couple of years as well.
Yeah.
Mate, how do you see that continuing to evolve?
Yeah, I think it's probably just there are more co-work spaces. So I think that probably really helps it. And there are more meetups, and hopefully things like New Tech Startups is a good one. And places like, the Business Center and Slingshot, places where the focus isn't on like a particular skill, but just the idea of a startup, a technical or non-technical. But the idea of a startup is sort of like some sort of leverageable product, some sort of, let's use the word disruption, I don't really want to, but some sort of disruptive product, you know, something new, right? So that in general combines us all.
Yeah.
You know, you're a recruiter, I'm a designer. When would we have ever really connected apart from this idea around how interesting startups are?
Yeah.
And then all the parts that swirl around inside that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all just people who work in different domains that then overlap with that. So I think anything in Newcastle that helps people generally interested in startups is a really positive thing, because that's where all that overlapping happens.
Agreed.
Opportunities then, you know.
Yeah. Mate, that's the opportunity. On the flip side of that, what's the biggest challenge?
Probably depends what you're building, because Newcastle is, you know, the size of Newcastle is as big as it is, meaning that if you're in a bigger city, you might have some not opportunities, but some just, I don't know, there's more stuff, there's more people. But for some, like we're building a SaaS product and what I would call, you know, just purely SaaS. So Newcastle shouldn't really play a role. We could be from Tamworth or something like that. It shouldn't really matter. Right. But yeah, I don't know. Perhaps the how close to Sydney we are might be a problem just because, you know, people go there and don't come back or that sort of thing. Like I can imagine it's problematic in the recruitment area a little bit. So yeah, I don't know. My personal perspective is I don't know if there's many challenges. This is my first time building something. So I'm yet to find the challenge, I guess. But I see it really positively. So I'm probably optimistic.
Yeah. Oh, mate, and you've also found a really good co-founder and you're technical yourself, so you can build it right. And there is probably a lack of technical talent in Newcastle on scale.
Yes. Yeah.
As you said, there's probably more access to that in one of the capital cities or something like that.
Yeah, just through scale, right? So it's just that sort of thing.
But on the flip side, from an advantage perspective, you went through a beta testing over the past few weeks or months.
Yeah.
Being in Newcastle, having probably closer, tighter relationships, it probably allowed you a better, more honest feedback through a beta phase.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, you send someone out an email and it's, you know, I see it as only my personal relationship with them that, you know, gives them the obligation to open it and spend a bit of time looking at it, which is great. That's why you build a network and relationships. But that's just not just a network. That's like, you know, real relationships that we, you know, we all want to work with each other and with each other's stuff. So, it was heavily relying on that. Because it wasn't that many people. I didn't send it out to the people who I sort of knew I wanted to look at it. They can look at it when the product's done. But people I knew, you know, I thought liked me enough to spend 30 minutes on our app.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really important. Yeah.
Nice, man. How do you go to market with a SaaS product built in Newcastle?
It's a good question. That's something to figure out. Well, no, I'm going to go content marketing is going to be the main thing.
Yeah. Around the design space?
Sorry?
Around the design space, content around the
design space. Like just the problem, right? You know, if you're a founder trying to get design, I understand as a designer the problem because it's a problem on the design side too. Yeah. So I want to just talk about that as much as possible. Got sort of, you know, really not generic but broad advice content around that because I find it quite interesting and I'm pretty passionate about that. Like design is a problem for all of us on both sides in terms of how manual and bespoke it is. So there's no way to really make it more efficient or cheaper in a good way. Content marketing around that because I find it really interesting. Medium is a great place for it. I don't know if you ever read stuff on there, but you know, I've got a couple of articles up there just sharing ideas and things that I've had and it's just really cool. Somehow they've like curated high quality content, even though anyone could put it up. I don't know how they're quite doing that.
Super clean. That's the best thing about Medium. I just love like the interface is just.
Yeah, it's great. It's a nice place to take stuff in. So just that. But look, to be honest, we're trying to leverage the fact that a good product is always its best marketing. So, you know, the product is good in my mind. In that, like, we've had a bit of luxury of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, this product isn't, we didn't get an MVP out in 8 months. This is actually a product, really, in my mind. They always say you should ship your MVP. You shouldn't be happy with it sort of thing. And whilst there's bits we want to grow, pretty happy with it, to be honest. Like, there's obviously stuff I want to grow and change. But, yeah, so I think we've actually got a product that I'm happy with. I'm pretty sure when people use it that, you know, they'll pass it on to the other people who are relevant. So that's it. And then content marketing. And then we'll move into the more traditional areas. But, yeah, that's something we're going to figure out a little bit more. my vision is that this is – I would like it to be the no-brainer product for startups. So that means that it's a no-brainer, meaning that every other startup founder is going to talk to all the other ones.
Yeah.
And then partnering. So we'll be like we wish to and we'll be partnering with sort of, the scale-up and incubator programs and that sort of stuff.
Because accelerator programs.
It's a shared problem for all of us to get this startup's design, you know, right. And their communication really is what we're talking about. So for the incubator and us and everyone, we want to get it done efficiently for them and done well. So, yeah. That's what I think. But, yeah, partnering is going to be a big thing. So,
affiliate marketing.
Yeah. I mean, not even, not even affiliating too much, but just, I think that'll come into it. But just being there and being able to offer it and let people offer a bit of discount perhaps and things like that. But just that, that'll help us get to startups as well. So whoever will talk to us, we'll go and talk to them. We'll reach out to all those groups that touch base with startups. So,
very nice.
Yeah, which new tech and startups is good for.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, no worry, mate.
No, we haven't leveraged that yet.
No. But, hey, there's a growing scene in Newcastle, a growing tech scene. You know, as you said, there's Slingshot does a lot of work up here. The business centre is doing more and more in that startup space as well.
And the uni, like obviously the uni's got like programs going on. So yeah, we'll sort of touch base with
and them. We've got a pretty good design culture in Newcastle, like some really good agencies around. So obviously if they can become your biggest allies, you're in an even better position.
Yeah, totally. The agencies would be really good too. I've talked to a couple of them. They like the product, which is cool. And I understand that from a design and a business perspective, I think it's got legs in that space. So they'll be able to provide some interesting products through it as well. Like obviously we'd extend the product for them, more bespoke, more customized features.
Yeah,
that's really easy for us to do. Awesome. So yeah, we've got a really like the product is scalable, not scalable, flexible really, in that, you know, if you want this to be like that, this is not too bad for us to change it. And it's not us forking the product, which is a classic problem of like having slide versions. So yeah, and we're just figuring out what to do. And so as well, talk to the partners around those bits. But yeah, I think the design agencies will be a part of it too.
And where can people find BrandSynth?
BrandSynth.com. Yep, jump on there and you can try it out, and there's more info around like the product there, obviously, and some setup guides and all that sort of stuff.
Cool.
And then I've got lukebennis.com in case anyone wants to link off to a couple of these other projects. But
so we'll link up both of those anyway. More in about last question on the product. Where's the biggest failure/ oh shit, if I had my time again, I'd do that different that you've experienced during this at least last year working on BrandSynth?
If I could, what have I mucked up, you mean? Like,
what's the war story that you'd be like, oh, if I had my time again, I wouldn't do that, which might help somebody else building a piece of software.
Yeah, look, I think I've had a bit of a luxury of time and space to make the thing, because I've been able to freelance at the same, like sustain myself. So I haven't quite gone all in, let's say, on it, or wanted to, but haven't done that, which I think is one of the biggest challenges of building anything. But on the flip side of that, like I sort of wish I went all in sooner, if that makes sense, in that like if you're going to build something and you believe that this might be your future, that putting in the effort and making the commitment to it is really important. So actually I sort of would like that to go back earlier and somehow go more full time on it earlier.
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. I mean, I've got my 18-month-year-old at home, my daughter, so I'm part time with her. So this is a terrible time for me to make a new business and a new product, but
there's never a good time.
Never a good time. Yeah. It's just, so balancing out all those things, but I don't know. Fortunately, I'm sorry, I don't have a bad thing. So, but we haven't done it yet. So, we'll probably have a bad thing that'll come, and I'll have a great answer for that. But so far, we've just been ticking along and had the luxury of time and space to make it a little bit. So, that's not usual. So
nice, man.
I've been learning from other people what to avoid.
There's plenty of that information out there, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Mate, about yourself, you're a part-time. Not a part-time dad, you're a full-time dad.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm a full-time dad mum. I call myself the dad mum.
Yeah.
But part-time worker, yeah.
Yeah. You're doing that while building a software product. You've done freelancing on the side as well to keep the bills being paid.
Yeah.
How do you manage that from a productivity perspective?
The best thing about productivity is the less amount of time you have, the more you're like to get something done, you'll just get it done faster. So I've just am super efficient with what I've got to get done and have a few days to do it.
Yep.
I also manage it in the sense that my freelance is built off of a few key relationships. So that means that it's probably not as overwhelming as it sounds. Yep. So I know kind of who I'm dealing with and where stuff's coming from and that sort of thing. So
yeah. And you spoke about your mutual distaste of to-do lists with Colin before.
Yeah. To-do list apps. Yeah. Yep.
Have you found anything that ticks your box?
Yeah. Not quite. Like I still have my version of a to-do app in my head that I want to make, and I haven't seen it yet, so it'll come out. There's things that do parts of what I want to do, but they don't all do it. Not that mine will be that good, I don't know, but I just want it. But I use Notion. That has been a lifesaver. Notion.
What's Notion?
Notion.so, which is a new app. It's a new unicorn that, yeah. You know, everyone can have a look at. But, yeah, it is a wiki. So it's like an Evernote, but yeah. But it's more markup-based, like a lot simpler but just a lot more powerful, really simple. Like, yeah, like it's free for ages, which is great. I pay for it. But, yeah, it's a great app. I collect everything that I do in it. I you know, I put it Evernote into it. It has an extraction for that, but I, you know, so if everyone out there is using Evernote,
which I am,
which you are, then have a look at Notion, because Evernote's good, not bad, but Notion is just so good.
From a pure note-taking perspective.
Yeah, just notes, a bit everything. Like, I mean, you know, you can embed everything. So Notion is where I collected all that design system stuff for Social Pinpoint. And then because you get a live link for that page, it's like making mini websites. I mean, it is a wiki product.
Yeah.
You make wikis in it, but you can just do a page or you connect them, or, you know, so it's really flexible. I do all my personal stuff in it and all my client work. So when you do a UI with me or some other work, I actually create a page for us and I put stuff in there and explain stuff and I'll have images and explanations, and it's like a little wiki of the work. It's not in email anymore. So it actually takes me out of email and out of my other note-taking app. It's phenomenal.
That is a big wrap.
It's very good.
You should become a salesperson.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hey, if you can sell brand sense as well as you
can. Yeah, I should. Yeah, yeah. I'll work on it. Yeah. Yeah, our product isn't as compelling. No, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Notion. It's very good. That's awesome. What I stay on top of
things. Awesome. You're a pretty educated dude. You've obviously built a piece of software. Informally, formally. Yeah, education. Mate, you know your stuff, let's put it that way. Where do you do your learning?
Well, online. So like any good nerd, I have a good feed of things that I've culled down to follow a few websites. Yep. But mostly reading has been a big place. Like,
let's start with those few websites. Where do you go?
Well, it's a bit of a collection, a few design ones and some just for, there's no single one. Like, you know, places like Web Designer Depot and some really big ones that people know, like I stay on top of those, and CSS Tricks, places like that. But those things in aggregate, really, like I just sort of watch what's happening on those and pick up tips and tricks through them. And otherwise, like, yeah, I actually, to be fair, don't look at that much design stuff. But, yeah, I read, like, a lot of nonfiction, which I find really helpful. So I'm actually a little bit, out of scope, hands off on the design space, just because I, you know, find it not useful.
Yeah.
So I look for other places to learn, really. Like, I've gotten a lot into behavioral economics. The Freakonomics podcast is really good.
Yeah.
That side of things, because that's, you know, money and psychology smashed together. So that's a really good, it's just business.
Yeah.
Right. But also design is like me visually communicating something to you, but also like emotionally and basically trying to manipulate you into some sort of feeling about it. Right. So that's
psychology.
It's all psychology. It's all those bits. So like I try and, I like to read about other things. I find it all feeds each other. So that's why, you know, you design, then you code a bit and you do some other things. I do a bit of video editing and animation and try and pick up all those bits, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And then feed them all back together, see what you know.
Nice, man.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, I just read nonfiction a lot. And then I'm reading my personal MBA at the moment, which is amazing.
What's that?
It's just a book that summarizes an entire MBA into an absorbable part, but it's just really succinct, amazing. Yeah. Can't remember who wrote it. I'm sort of 70% through at the moment, so I haven't turned back to the cover yet. But yeah, I can't remember his name, but it's quite famous. It's been around for a long time. Andrew gave it to me and said you should read this, and I was like two pages in. It's amazing. So because I don't have any business education apart from just being around sort of other businesses and startups, and design agencies are an interesting place to get business experience, because we help lots of clients do stuff, and so we get to know about them and their business and what they're doing, especially when you help a startup.
Yeah.
So looking from the outside in has been really interesting across lots of businesses. So, but that, not that that's real knowledge, that's just like contextual.
Contextual knowledge.
Experience, a little bit of experience just seeing stuff. But yeah, mate. So now I'm trying to like actually put it all into practice.
Yeah, mate. You can learn a lot through experience. But, yeah, if you overlay that with some
Bit of like fundamental
theoretical knowledge as well. Yeah. you have like, you know, your personal experiences and some theoretical knowledge, you're probably all the better for it, right?
Totally. Yeah. So
nice, man.
Trying to do that. Yeah.
If you had to wheel it all back and give yourself some advice earlier, you just said from the actual building the software product, you'd jump into there earlier, but what about on a whole career wise?
Yeah, look, I think as a designer, because that's what I've been, most of the time, would be to key into the business side of things more or understand where you fit as a designer in the business, because, you know, I've heard lots of, you know, you sort of generally hear like, oh, we'll get the design to do that, but, you know, how long is that going to take and what am I going to get out of it and da-da-da. It helps you key into what value you're actually providing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I don't know, I was a designer for years without ever really considering that element of it. It was like, oh, here's a brief, do the thing, da-da-da. Yeah. So, keying into that sooner would have been really good to just understand business in general, but also, yeah, where your value comes from, you know.
Yeah, there's an occurring appreciation for design though.
Which is helpful. Yeah.
And no longer being seen as a pure cost center, but actually an asset to the business.
Yes, yeah, some ROI.
Yeah. You can actually prove it these days, right?
That's probably part of it, isn't it, that we can track an A/B and do a little few things like that and figure out what's better. Yeah,
you mean your changes that have led to increased conversions have led to X percentage increase in revenues or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Nice, man. Mm. For people, so brandsynth.com.
Yep. Yep.
BrandSynth.
Yes.
.com.
Yep. .com. Cool. Like a synthesizer. Brand synth. Like, yeah.
So, well, mate, we'll link that up in the show notes. And then you've mentioned your personal website. Are they the two? They're the easiest ways to get in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And Brand Synth's the main one. Like, my website's just there as to hold my email. But so Brand Synth, that's the one. Like, I'm sitting by the contact form. Waiting.
Refresh.
Yes. Yep.
Just hoping that this part doesn't work.
Yeah.
Hoping that doesn't come through, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck with BrandSynth. I'm sure. I'm sure it'll do well. It really kicks off for you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the podcast today.
My pleasure.
Cheers, man.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this episode. You can find all the show notes at newitechpeople.com.au. We're consistently updating the website with new show notes of new episodes, and you can also catch up with all our backlog of episodes, local tech professionals. Thanks again for listening.